Hi, before you hop onto this week's episode, I just thought to share something exciting with you all. So, as you know, we've been exploring surrogacy or surrogate in this month's theme, and as a way to just build support around this topic, I would like to share that as part of our missions to demystify, guide, and protect families on the surrogacy journey, we are now offering both personalized support and a safe community space. So it's called HOPES, which stands for Helping Our People Expand Safely. And during this time, we'll provide culturally grounded coaching, community resources, including surrogacy and CRBA. CRBA, for those who are not familiar with that, is a consular report of birth abroad. This is when you give birth to a child as a U.S. citizen outside of the U.S. and you want to bring the child back. And I know this can also extend to other countries as well. And so if you need some support around how to get that done, paperwork, getting ready for the interviews, we can provide that support. So basically, HOPES is just helping with global family building. Our team combines lived experience and professional expertise to guide families through surrogacy and CRBA processes and even infertility with care, dignity, and cultural understanding. There's an intake form to fill to get started. But you can email us on talktomo@mosibu.com or check out the show notes on how to get started. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Hi, my name is Mo, and if you don't know me, I'm the host and interlocutor of this podcast you're listening to called the Mosibu Podcast. I'm also an associate professor in the College of Medicine, a scientist, a cancer researcher, and also a mother. My journey to motherhood wasn't easy. It was one paved with tears and doubts. My path was not conventional either, but I'm proud of it. It is what it is. I welcomed my second child last year through surrogacy, and I believe that surrogacy is widely misunderstood, but that needs to change, don't you think? If you're unfamiliar with the term, surrogacy is a method of assisted reproduction where a woman called a surrogate carries and gives birth to a child for someone else, often referred to as the intended parents or conventional parents. Surrogacy is a very personal journey, but I'm sharing this for two reasons. One, because stories matter, representation matters, and also because I want someone out there to know that they are not alone in their struggle, that they shouldn't feel less than because this is a path that is tenable to them. So this month, I'm doing what this podcast does best, having real, honest conversations. In 5 episodes, I sit down with key people in this journey, medical professionals, surrogate mothers, intended parents, and legal experts. Together, we untangle the complex, emotional, and deeply human journey of surrogacy. So whether you're considering surrogacy, navigating infertility, supporting someone on this path, or just want to learn, come along for the ride. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of our special series, Surrogate. Now, if you're new here, let me explain. Surrogate is a raw, honest, and necessary series where we've been unpacking the layered world of surrogacy, especially through African, diasporic, and cross-cultural lenses. We've talked about the joy, the heartbreak, the stigma, the hope, and everything in between. It's also a space where we're not just asking what is surrogate, you know, we're not just asking what is surrogate, but what does it mean to carry or be carried in body, in law, and in love. Today's guest is someone who embodies that question deeply. I'm so honored to be sitting with Ms. Idowu Abosede Grace. She's the founder and CEO of Boblon Grace Surrogacy Agency in Nigeria. But she's not just running an agency, she's lived it. She's walked the journey of being a surrogate herself, and now she's leading a mission to make that journey safer, more dignified, and more transparent for other women and intended parents alike. In a country like Nigeria, where surrogacy isn't clearly legal or illegal, and where class and power dynamics can go often unchecked, Ms. Idowu is raising important questions. What does care really mean? Who gets to decide? And how do we ensure that surrogates aren't treated like domestic workers, like the omo domo that we are familiar with, but just because they are from less privileged backgrounds? So today we're going to be talking about her journey, how she built her agency, the care model she uses, and what she believes
what she believes still needs to change in the surrogacy space in Nigeria and beyond. This one is personal, so let's get right into it. Hello, Ma. Thank you so much for honoring our invitation to talk on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. Where are you from, and a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm from Lagos State. I also did my childhood in Shomolu Bariga. So like where I know about surrogacy is also like what was going on like in the community, because as at then it wasn't really something you could actually like talk about, but I got to know from there. And that was where I was born and brought up, Shomolu.
Okay. And when you said Shomolu, I just gasped, because that's where I grew up. I grew up on Bajulaye Street. I was born and bred in Shomolu as well. And then, you know, you live in Ikorodu currently. Ominiyo, Toto. Bajulaye Street, that was my... I went to school in Shomolu. Very, very small world. Yeah, yeah. My aunties live in Lady Lark and Olorunkemi, not far from that Bariga Market. Yeah, yeah.
Not far.
I used to ply that road a lot. I know it like the back of my hand. And how many siblings in your family, and what was your position?
I'm the firstborn of my mother and my father.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I have four other siblings.
Okay. And how many brothers? How many sisters?
I have just one brother and three sisters.
And three sisters. Okay. Thank you. So you talked about you learned like what the community you grew up in. That kind of shaped you into, you know, the line of work you do now with surrogacy. What was the first time you learned about surrogacy? And if you can talk more about what built your passion towards, you know, surrogacy.
Okay. First of all, how I know about surrogacy was it's a very funny encounter. I shorten it. I think there was somebody that is like a... we stay in the same community in Moshalashi Street in Shomolu.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually she gave somebody accommodation, which is like a friend to her. And I think that one introduced the person that she gave her accommodation, that is like the person we know now, told her about surrogacy and being a donor. So she now said, oh, I think you can start with donor or something. But the thing led to like a huge fight, whereby that one fixed appointments for her with the clinic and also with the agency. And the lady later flopped and said, oh, I'm not going to do it because I feel like I want to sell and I might be selling my eggs to ritualists.
Hmm.
So it actually like just escalated and there were issues. So, and my dad is a kind of person that is very accommodating.
Hmm.
He's a very accommodating. He takes in any kind of person that comes to the house.
Mm.
So he was like, when he heard they were fighting, he didn't really know what was happening, but he was like, okay, I have a room that is still open in my compound. I can give it to you for you to stay for a while, where you sort yourself and go. So my dad didn't actually know what was happening, but me, I'm a very inquisitive person. Right now, ask the lady what really happened. Then she now, what really happened that caused the fight? But you know, it's something that they couldn't really spread. As at then, I'm talking about like 15 years back, they couldn't really see what was happening. So she now told me, oh, it was egg donor. They told her to come and donate her eggs to help somebody and all that, but she feels like it's ritual. I said, eh. So she was now laughing and everything. So the thing now escalated to the point whereby some neighbors were coming in because she was like making her voice loud, audible. So, but me, I kept it in my mind. I was like, I felt like, because I'm an inquisitive person, if not because of some circumstances, I'm not going to even have like a certified nurse or doctor. So I was like, I didn't I don't see this as something bad. I see this as something someone can use to like better their lives because they are trying to help somebody. Mm-hmm. Because it's not easy for somebody to say, come and donate
something for me. Yeah.
When I have my own eggs.
Yeah.
So for me to even, I put myself in the shoes of those people, like for me to say, come and give me your eggs, that means there might have been something very bad that has happened to me. For me to say, come and give me your eggs. Be able to show my face and be anonymous and send the clinic or the. I kept it in my heart. I went back to the lady. I went to meet her. I said, please, I heard this, I heard that. She was like, who told you? I said, the person my dad accommodated. She was like, so she accepted me. I said, just help me out because I've had my daughter. I want to. No, have I had my. No, I've not had my daughter then. Then I told her, I said, no, I want to help me to say I'm trying to like snitch on the lady because you know Shomolu Bariga now.
Oh yeah, you smart thing. Everything
it's where it's very, like a hood where you
get from that then. Yeah.
It's a hood. Yeah. So I was like, please just put me through. She was like, okay. We have like a family fault between my family and the lady. It's like a family and generational thing. But me, I'm a kind of person that I don't care. It's not my business. I wasn't there when they were fighting. And my mom used to warn us that don't go to this person. No, these people, their family are bad, this and that. I'll be like, okay. Also, my aunties. But I went. The lady now put me through. She's an agency that was actually doing it. The lady now told me the agent that was she's like a boss to me.
Yeah.
She was not the one that told me. She said, the way I'm looking at you, I see you have passion for this. It's not really about the money because she sees that even sometimes when I don't even, when she's not even giving me T-fare to even take like the surrogates to the clinic as a day.
Yeah.
Like she has not even given me, said, I want to give you so amount for T-fare. I'll be like, hey, I can take them now.
I know the clinic. Yeah.
Okay, just give me a book. I'll take them for you. So she was not like, I think it's not about you. About the passion you have for it. Grace, I'm not saying you're not going to be a surrogate to also own an agency. Then from there, she just put me through.
And that was it. Wow. How long ago was
and
this?
And that was how I got to the world of surrogate. It's been long ago. If I'll say it now, before I had my daughter, 14 years now.
So you became a surrogate before you even had your own child?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't become a surrogate before I had my child.
Oh, okay. But at least the seed was sown then.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seed was sown then. Okay.
Yes, it was sown already. But I wasn't a surrogate as at then.
Okay.
I wasn't a surrogate. There was a time I even left the surrogate. I left surrogacy world, IVF world. I went to like work. I just think that these jobs are not really working for me.
Yeah.
Because as at then, my daughter now had health issues. Acute tonsillitis. But before we could know she had acute tonsillitis, I have spent a lot.
Wow.
It was draining me.
Wow.
Yes. So it was draining me financially. And it got to a time I was like, well, let me just go back to this world. So when I told my mentor, like my boss, that I want to become a surgeon, she was like, why? I said, I need money. I'm in need of money. Financially, she was like, I thought you ran from us now. I said, is this religious things that made me to run or this and that? But I don't have a choice at that now. It's not a bad thing. I'm trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
She was not like, okay.
Yeah.
Then she has taught me already. I can find my way.
Yeah.
And I said, there's no problem. As at then too, there were not really people that needed surrogates at then. So I told my mentor, this is what I want to do. That was after I've had my daughter. And she started having health challenges.
So just kind of encourage you to like begin that. Yeah.
So, you have to have at least more than one child.
One child, yeah. Ideally, yes.
One child, if not more than.
Yeah.
As at when I did my own, was like at least one child. But as at right now, it's for 2 children.
Oh, really?
2 to 3 for me. I'm taking 2, yes, because surrogacy, it's a long process, and it's the kind of thing whereby when you do surrogacy, sometimes it has good side.
Yep.
Yes, it's hard. So it's not really something I can be saying like that, but at least if you have said, okay, I'm done with kids, or to have one more after this one, then I can take you into the world of surrogacy for me. Because, you know, for surrogates, you can lose your womb, God forbid.
As in?
But it can happen.
Yeah, a lot, even infections, yes, and trauma, mental health issues, yeah, like, yes.
Yes, mental health.
So it's so complicated. Yeah.
Yes.
Complications.
And the drugs are hormonal drugs.
Yes, yes, yes. To support
it's not something I can say. Yes, because when I did my first journey, I had only one child. When I did the second journey also, I have only one child. Mm. So, and it took me, when I look at, even when I'm trying, it's now like a kind of issue for me. And it's something that can happen.
Yeah.
Yes, something that can happen. So I can't. I want to use somebody that I've had only one child for surrogacy for my own agency. Do it, but me, I can't.
You can't do that. Yeah. You want them to be sure that they are done with, you know, because something can happen that can also destroy their own chances of having their own kids. Yeah.
Yes.
So one of the things for people that just listened to this episode and have skipped the other series is we went through surrogacy. And I remember the first time I walked into the doctor's office to talk about what that would look like. And it wasn't an easy decision to make to go through surrogacy. By then, we had been married for about 11, 12 years. And, you know, IVF failures, miscarriages. And I remember talking, this was a Nigerian doctor. We had done a lot of interviews with all kind of doctors. We'd settled on him because the way his approach was a little bit different, and he seemed more in tune and empathetic. And as I was asking him questions, he looked at me and said, wait, are you the one, are you a surrogate? I'm like, no, because the questions I was asking was almost like, why are they treating surrogates like this? What can we do better? He didn't think I was desperate. He sounded like I wasn't desperate enough to have a child, because everything I was saying was almost like I wasn't going to end up doing it, because I had a lot of questions. We did eventually go through surrogacy, and I credit, you know, my team. So Chidima, who introduced me to you, shout out to her, by the way. And one of our friends was Solami, who was a nurse. And they've really impacted just some of the things we had to do to advocate better for our surrogate, like, you know, paying her extra, getting her mental health counseling, checking in on her, helping her with a business plan. Because we found out that a lot of surrogates in Nigeria, they are people who need the money. And with the class system, you have the rich almost preying on the vulnerabilities of the poor. And it's just how to just say it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. That's just how it is. And yes, we're desperate. We want the kids. But I'm thinking someone who was giving me a gift that I couldn't give myself with all the little money I have in the world. How can I honor her? How can I, you know, make sure that she gets the best out of it? Not just after we've gotten the baby and we say bye-bye, but how can we keep honoring her and supporting her? That was how we shifted our model. And it's why I'm even passionate about this series. You know, encouraging, commissioning parents, how we can do better. But I'm curious to know, how was your experience as a surrogate? So I know you talked about wanting money to help your child's treatment. How was it for you in such a way that you weren't, preyed upon, or you weren't used as a way?
It wasn't really a kind of experience I would want to reminisce on, because my first experience for surrogacy was not nice for myself. Maybe because my mentor then didn't really put me through, how will I say it in English? But as Yoruba, I think it means that emo mafi ijile gongo 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 honyo. Afi big batele kwe kenyo fi aere for ishe.
Like your body was like you use your whole body. You just say it in Yoruba. I will translate it. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like I used myself to gain experience in surrogacy. it wasn't a good experience. The first experience was, I thank God for the fertility nurse that helped me in my first IVF, my first surrogacy talk, Dr. Ewa.
Shout out to the nurse.
The reason I will thank Dr. Ewa is because my fertility nurse as at then, she has an agency now, and she's doing well. She tried her best for me, but because she was under the clinic, it was not really like she was obligated to help me. It's something like their clients, because they did the fertility treatment in the hospital, and after we achieved pregnancy in the hospital, they told the commissioning couples to look for. Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay. They told the commissioning couple to look for, to register me. The first clinic they took me to, I won't forget. That was how I came into Ikorodu. That was how I came to be and start living in Ikorodu.
Okay.
Yes. The first hospital they asked them, I think they gave them like three choices. They get their hospital, they take me to an hospital in Ikorodu, I think Oak, and also, or they take me to Lasso. Owner of this hospital, I want you to mute this. The name of the first hospital, sure, the hospital sure. I mentioned now, it's Ikorodu. The first hospital they took me to, I had to take picture, environment, the toilet, the bed I was sleeping in, sent to the fertility nurse. She was like, "No, this is bad. We won't allow you to stay here." So they spoke with the woman. That's the intermediary, not the owner of the pregnancy, because I met the intermediary.
Okay,
the intermediary was like, "We cannot allow you to work with this." I said, "Yes, I know. That was one of the reasons, but I will still, it's not like I'm going to be going to work, but I will be working from home." Because then I was already learning tailoring, how to sew polo and all that. That actually trashed later. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. I'm here. I can still hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. So that actually trashed later. But I had to send that place to the clinic. So when the nurse saw it, she was like, "No, this is bad. We have to do something about it." So she told the woman, when she told the intermediary, I didn't know it was offensive to her into another clinic. So it was later on. Normally, the pregnancy, they were saying, they will have to take care of me. The owner of the clinic was saying, you know, promises that is looking like empty promises. Yeah, like it was looking real, but when I stayed there for like 2-3 days, I knew it was empty. It wasn't it. They just wanted me to like give them a good recommendation so that the clinic they did the IVF procedure wouldn't like find any issue with them. But because I know what I wanted, so woman now came to my fertility nurse, talked to her that no, I'm not comfortable here. She should take me to where they recommended. That is the hospital I told you that is at Ikorodu, the big one.
The big one, yeah.
The one I said she should. They took me to the hospital. They registered me and everything. But before they registered me, I can remember the woman followed me to my house because my later came out to my mom and told my mom that I did surrogacy. My mom cried and she said a lot of things. I was like, I just want to help somebody and I want to help my daughter's life because I'm a single mother. Her father is like a deadbeat. He's a very, very chronic deadbeat. So I don't even want this girl to die on me. So I have to do something to make sure this girl don't die on me. So we got to my house because the woman was like, she wants to know my house, where I come from. I took the intermediary to the house. When the intermediary was talking, she was just telling my mom,
she rejected the hospital.
They made it seem as it was feel like I
yeah Wow.
I should accept what they give to me. But me, I was like, no, I want, I know better. What I want. I know for myself.
Yeah.
You're just compensating me. So you should make sure, okay. Because the hospital was looking like somewhere that they can forget.
Exactly.
Even the nurses were not thinking like they really know what IVF entails. They don't even know anything about surrogacy because the owner of the hospital was just talking. That's the wife of the owner, but the owner is dead. The owner is dead. So the wife of the owner was just talking like because she has gone through IVF also. But the workers don't know. So, you know, and she's not every time she's going to be around. So that's why the promises are looking like empty promises. She only comes and goes. And now I was like, no, I don't want to stay here. So they got me another hospital. She came to my house. She told my mom, I'm too spoiled, this and that. But I didn't care. So when she said I didn't shake, she registered me in that hospital. Then they got an apartment for me in Ijede. I was staying in Ijede. Then, they found out I was carrying triplets.
Triplets?
Yes, I didn't really want to say this before.
Hey.
Because I'm not going to mute it. This is me. My first journey, when I thought we were going to end up together. So I didn't really come out truthfully to that one about my first journey. But there is no gain in lying. It's something I've done.
Yeah.
I will always say movie caution.
You use your body to learn the work, like you put your, you applied yourself. Yes. Well, my goodness, you laid your life down.
Yes. So there is nothing to be ashamed of about it. So, and very, very good. We are no more together. I have nothing to hide for anybody. Any man that is coming now should know I'm a 2-time surrogate.
Why is there stigma about it? This is a gift that is so wonderful, and you laid your life down. It's something honorable. Any man that doesn't want you because of that, I don't think you want to be with that kind of person.
It's the stigma.
I know. This is why we're doing this episode. There's such a stigma with surrogacy, you know.
Yes, you know we are Africans. We are black.
That's true.
But what's there? I'll still come back to that place.
Okay.
Yes. But for now, let's continue about my treatment. Yeah. So when the woman knew, when they knew, the commissioning company knew I was carrying triplets. So when they registered me in the hospital, sorry, please help me to mute it.
I will mute it, yeah.
When they registered me in that hospital, the owner of the hospital was like, call me anytime. I will pick your call. You know, because antenatal, the money we pay for antenatal for IVF pregnancies is different from...
It's different. It's super... And the surrogacy is even also very expensive. Yes, yes.
Yeah, very expensive.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because they need a lot of care, like extreme care. Because it's something like, in Koto Yakwe, it's something we put inside somebody to say, please help us to carry this thing.
Special egg, Special egg.
So, they have to be able to like come and do impromptu work. God forbid if there's an emergency. They have to be there 24/7 for multiple, when it's multiple pregnancies. So I called, the man was telling me, just call me anytime. If anything is wrong, I will listen to you. If there is an emergency, we'll tell you to come over or send an ambulance over. You know, when they promise you everything. So I was like, oh, have people seen somebody that understands me? So during the pregnancy, there was a phase whereby they were like, they need to get some home appliances for me. For someone that is carrying three kids inside one stomach for you. If I tell you my age, then, but I would say my age. But I was in my early 20s. Because motete mo wo.
You learned I started working money. Yes. You began your entrepreneurial journey early in life.
Yes. I started working at the age of 15. I finished secondary school like this at 15. I started working. So when it comes to making money, I've been making money from young. And I don't believe that have to have a man in your life for you to be able to attain any of your ambition. So when the man was telling, We will take care of you. This, I said, no, there's no problem. So during that time, there were some home appliances I need and a fridge, because I was carrying three, and sometimes I can't do things by myself. You know, carrying three kids.
It's a lot. Did they tell you that it was going to be three?
They told me that I was carrying three.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot.
They told me I was carrying three.
Yeah.
So, when I got to find out, when they told me I was carrying three, I was doing things. I was like, sometimes it got to a stage. I think I'll need a middle. She was like, yeah, I won't need. The pregnancy hasn't gotten to 16 weeks. No, it has gotten to 16 weeks. There's something that happened whereby it was a night, in the middle of the night, and I was like two, I started bleeding. I started bleeding heavily. I now called the owner of the hospital. When I called this man, he personally, and he told me, why are you calling me by this time? I said, sir, I'm bleeding, please.
I'm bleeding. It's important.
Why are you calling me by this time? Call the clinic now. Call the clinic. I just hung up. And I looked for a way. I started praying. Because I didn't have the number to the clinic. He didn't send me the number of the clinic. I started praying that I have come this way. I don't want to lose these babies, because it's not like I'm not going to get compensation for it, but it's not about the compensation. It's about three lives. I started praying.
Exactly.
My intermediary, I texted her. She was talking to me. She was actually all about the baby at some point. So she was talking to me.
Wow.
Yeah, she was talking to me. She was trying to get through to the hospital. In the morning, I went myself. There was not even come and carry cab, because at that then there was still Uber. I trekked from inside Unity Estate. So I was like, no. I trekked from that Unity Estate out. Jadesi said, I went to enter bus. Go to garage. I took bus to that place. I took box to Agric, then I took box to the clinic. When I got there, I saw her. She was already waiting for me, so they put me on admission and everything. They said I had threatened abortion. Do you know, I mentioned a doctor, Dr. Ewa. That man is God sent.
Yeah, the one you said was really...
They are doctors. So, but this man, he was always trying to make sure I am okay and the babies are fine. You know when somebody is doing extra, but they feel the commissioning couples might be feeling like he's trying to take extra money from them. But he was trying to do something that
everybody like focus on you, because when you are well, then the children are well as well.
Yes. And he was like he was working under this hospital. And he was also encouraging me during the journey. There are sometimes that I feel down and I feel depressed. And when I'm in the clinic, he'll be like, what is wrong with you? I'll say, I don't know, this and that. Okay, this is what is wrong. You say, okay, do like this. And the advice is... So during the time I need the maid, when I had that chance in the abortion, he now told the woman, he said, I have told you before that this lady needs a maid. And now you can see that this lady needs a maid, because a triplet pregnancy will be looking like Asokale and Fanio at 5 months, 6 months.
Yeah. It's high risk.
Carrying that baby, and I have big tummy. So looking at me, they'll be feeling like,
almost
because they'll be looking like, oh, my, don't be money, but you'll be next month.
But it's like, you're still fast. You're still like,
you know, when you're feeling pressure, you're working and you're feeling like something else.
Yeah.
Like something wants to fall out of your out of your service. That's the way I was always feeling. So when mm-hmm. when the woman now saw it, but thought do dread. She was not like, okay, I should get the meat. Then I made the arrangement of the maid. Fortunately for me, the landlady was looking for a job. That is the landlady of the house I was
in. House you're in, yeah.
So now I told her I wanted the meat. She was like, can you help me now? What do I need to do? This and this woman like is like a mother.
Mm.
So she started helping me out till I now gave birth. When I also gave birth too. Story for another day. But it is well. Before I gave birth, I was in hospital from the pregnancy was from 6 months. That was when I was in hospital at 6 months. I think 6 months plus because I was already dripping. I took my daughter to the clinic at Lasu. Lut at Diaraba. So when I got to Diaraba, we're done with everything. Then somebody now told me, madam, you will be ill. Your water has broken. So I look at my clothes was already
wet,
soaked. So as I was coming, I just told my brother to come and carry my daughter back to my mom's place because she wasn't living with me because my body couldn't carry that stress.
Yeah.
So I dropped at Agric and I got to the clinic. And from there, they put me on admission. And I said, I have to be on strict bed rest till I deliver.
Yeah.
So now during the time I was always contracting. They were giving me a lot of anesthesia, painkillers, and I can tell you now that those painkillers don't work on my body anymore.
Mm.
Even as at now, I need to have a higher dose
because of what to sleep
because my body is now resistant
tolerance,
drugs.
Yeah.
Yes, now it's resistant to it. So if you give it to me now, somebody even wants to drug me now, they gave me those drugs and I feel like I'm going to sleep.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but the way you say it.
Yes, I was just looking like this. I will not sleep because it's really fucked up my system in that aspect. So it got to a stage. The doctor too was trying to make sure, he was telling them, he said, please, let's give birth to this baby at maybe 33 weeks or 34 weeks. Mm. The doctor was trying for me. This doctor I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying for me. But the woman, the commissioning couples were like, they will still put the baby in the incubator. What's best for the baby? So I think the commissioning couple were doing what is best for the baby. Why? It now got to a stage whereby the doctor was doing, please, what is best for this? Don't let this girl die in our clinic.
Wow.
So there was a day. The intermediary now came. That was the second day. That was the second day of that day I gave birth.
Yeah.
When she came, she was like, when she saw me, she was like, I will of that time. I will send a picture to you.
Okay.
When she saw me, she was like, okoni dola.
That means you can't even, I'm trying to translate, if they don't intervene now, you might not last till tomorrow. You might end up losing your life.
Yes. And it was some weeks before then that I took that picture that I want to send to you.
Wow.
I will send the picture to you. I have it on my phone.
Wow.
My Google this needs to bring it as a reminder. So when I say,
wow.
Please, doctor, please give me, let me sign. Come and go and operate this girl, low, because she was scared when she saw me. They tried, the commissioning couples. I won't lie. If I would say in 100%, at least once she 40.
But it's 40 past mark. If you think about it.
As at then.
As at then,
40 was like, okay. I know what I'm saying.
Okay.
As at then.
Okay. I see what 40, you mean. 40.
So, from Jesha, they called a doctor. When that one came, that one just touched my stomach. It was like, this lady is already contracting now. Please, let's schedule her for CS. No. So, immediately, they scheduled me. They told me not to eat. But fortunately, it was the following day they did the procedure. When they did the procedure, immediately they gave me the anesthesia, the anesthetics. Immediately, I was supposed to feel numbs because they gave me my spine. But because of those drugs they have been giving me.
Yeah.
Cibestrol, diazepam. That they have been giving to me. I think, is it Cibestrol or no? It's not Cibestrol. Cibestrol. I'll remember.
It's okay.
Is it? I'll remember. So because of the things they have been giving to me, when they gave me the spinal, this thing, they thought it's going to work.
But it didn't work. Yeah, developed tolerance.
So the doctor was asking me, "Are you feeling numb?" I said, "I think they were touching my leg." I said, "My leg is already numb. Even if you're feeling pain here," I said, "it's already numb." The man now said, "Are you a man?" Yes, somehow. He now said, "Okay," because when I said he's feeling numb, as somewhat ordinary, I just see. I was like, "Oh, no, nothing." So I went, I just shout, "Jesus." The man said, "What?" I said, "Doctor, may your shame delay you.
Is that somebody that is.
Undo me, oh.
I'm in pain.
Wow. Felt the pain." So immediately the man's head, I didn't know what happened. He was just shouting to the person that was giving me the anesthetics and the nurses, and everywhere was like in turmoil.
Wow.
Introducing some things to my system, and I went off.
Wow.
So when I woke up, they've had into the incubator because they were not strong enough to greet.
Of course, 3 kids.
They were delivered. I delivered them at I delivered them at 32 weeks, 5 days.
Oh, wow. 32 weeks?
Yes, 32 weeks, 5 days. Wow. 32 weeks, 5 days. They were triplets.
Did you get to see them at all? Did you get to see them at all? Hold them at all? Things like that?
No. I didn't get to see them. I didn't get to see them. But it's something I've signed for, and it's,
I know,
that's how it's supposed to be.
I know. How do you feel though? How do you feel? I know, but how do you feel about that? I had an issue with that because I was like, let her hold the baby. Like, no, it's not. It might be very hard for her.
No, there is no issue. Why will you hold the baby? No, there is no issue. That was what we signed up for. Now, why will I be saying I want to see the children? Normally, even if I'm trying to heal, trauma to me that I don't want to go.
Didn't your body like feel like, you know, the post care, your body in pain and not even having anything for it?
No, it doesn't matter. That is why I am surrogate is a calling. It's just not what something somebody can do. Like a lot of people will say, you know, I told you I own an agency, it's my work.
Yeah, Bob Lund,
it's my job.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about that in a bit though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And some people will be like, okay, so it's a calling. Surrogacy is a calling. It's not for what I do now. My work now, the work why they do. I don't get to any other work now. This surrogacy work I need to do. A lot of people will come and say, Auntie Grace, I want to be a surrogate. Sebati will come by. With my years of experience, I'll say
this one is not fit. Yeah, you're not ready.
I'm a very blunt person. I'm very blunt to the extent that I don't have a lot of friends. In fact, the friends that can tolerate me are small because I don't take nonsense. I'm very disciplined and I don't like. So people like liars. Whereby it's something you want to hear, they will tell you. So I don't do it. So I have minimum friends. So if I look at them, I'll be like, oh, let's see surrogate.
Let me say the truth for you. You can't do surrogates, yeah.
Sometimes, even without looking at them, because I'm also very spiritual and prayerful. Sometimes my mind will just be like, don't say anything, no. Don't matter if people say anything. I'll say, okay. You want to be a surrogate? Yes, ma. And this and that. I did that. Later on, just 1 week, safe. Call them back. They will tell you their mother is sick or their sister is not feeling fine. Or one of their grandmother that died, just died again. They want to go and do burial. They are not doing. They will give you different stories. Some will even tell you their husband said they are not doing or their boyfriend told them not to do. So it's a calling.
Yeah. And everybody can do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are surrogates and they are surrogates. They are surrogates whereby they will do it also. You will not complain. throughout their journey. I have surrogates like that I have prayed for. And I used to tell them, there is nobody that comes to me to do surrogates that regrets, because I've used my body to experiment on this. And I've used my multifaraji. So anyone that's coming to a surrogate under me, you will never regret being a surrogate. As soon as that baby's peak, like we do pregnancy test, and that pregnancy is confirmed positive till you give birth, you will never regret your surrogate under me. That is what that is the kind of prayer I you will not come back to say, I want to do the second one. If you are coming back to say, I want to do the second one, it should be for a reasonable reason, not first one. Okay, but lower me, more appreciate the second one. So during the time there were some care that I was supposed to get, that if not because of this same doctor
that I mentioned,
if it wasn't there, I would not get it. I would not get it. But God, thank God that he was around. So he was like a angel, because he got to say that even my agent said my fertility nurse is not even really know what was going on. It was this man that was actually doing the job of what my agency is supposed to do. Yes, it was the one. So at the long that was the at the long run, after like 3 weeks, I had some sharp pains within me, and I went to the hospital. This same hospital, and this same doctor was the one that attended to me, and they said I should go and do some tests. I did some tests and ultrasound. They found out I had acute appendicitis. I think one of the child slept somewhere close to that place, so the pain was much, and I was having fever, like high fever, that from the day they discharged me till that day, I had it for like almost like 2 months straight.
What?
Yes. And the man called, I cannot forget what that woman said, the intermediary. The doctor called those people and were like, this girl needs help. We did some tests for her and we confirmed she had acute appendicitis. The woman was saying, I want not in Norway.
Oh my goodness. We've spent money.
Kemi, no, no, not pay me.
You should go and spend your money. Wow.
I want not in Norway. I want not in Norway.
Wow.
The woman called me. Oshamo, where I call her mama, make good arrangements in Yemo. At the phone, hello, where?
We've given you your money. Go and do your own. We're already taking, we've settled you.
It was painful. I cried, though. I can't forget that day I was inside Uber, because I took Uber for myself. One thing I don't do to my, I don't, me, if you are Jeremy, to Uber, I love me.
You take good care of yourself, yeah.
So, I was in the Uber. I was crying. My friend has also been once a surrogate, Moturayo. I don't know where she is now, but at then she was like a point of like, she was like she was like someone that was even helping me with therapy. Like, Grace, don't think about it. You won't know your mag bad rap, but Uri and Omoto. The doctor was like, I think we have to perform another surgery on you. The surgeon was not like, this is suicide mission. They gave me a list of antibiotics. I bought it with my money. And that doctor was checking up on me, was doing, like, it was caring.
Yeah.
And he made sure I didn't go through surgery till I was okay.
Wow. And how many years ago was this, by the way, if you're at liberty to share?
That was like 8 years ago.
Oh, 8 years ago. And I imagine all of the experiences you had was also what inspired you to set up your agency. Can you tell us about, Bob Lord and how you sought for your surrogate, and what commissioning parents like us or future commissioning parents can do to make sure that their rights are protected? Because currently there are no laws, you know, federal laws.
Yes.
Guiding the practice. So it's very, I've heard a lot of things about agencies. Most of them are not there to do good. You know, they don't really uphold the rights and the safety of the surrogates. You know, but I'm glad that for you, you've walked the walk, you've talked the talk. So in addition to wearing the hat of your, you know, the CEO of your agency, you're also putting yourself in the shoes of a surrogate because you've been there. So what can we, tell us a little bit about your agency, and then what can commissioning parents do to make sure that they're working hand in hand and they're not exploiting, you know, surrogates?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bubbly and Gray Surrogacy Agency was inspired by my second surrogate journey. Mm. That was what really made me look at it, that no, I have to do better and have my own agency. Because if I was the owner of my agency before I had my second surrogate journey, it might not have been
as bad
that now.
Mm.
Yes. And because of what I experienced made me look at it that I need to do better. I need to have an agency whereby my surrogates have to see my agency as a sanctuary, whereby we fight for their rights. If we look at it, truly, truly, some surrogates do misbehave though.
I mean, anybody can misbehave. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, anybody can misbehave. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't help or just do your own part as a commissioning couple.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, we ensure their surrogate safety, their well-being, their dignity throughout the process. We prioritize our surrogates.
Good. Can you give an example of what that means? Can you give an example of what that means?
Yes, our surrogates are like a priority to us, even more than a commissioning couples. Because the commissioning couples, we just come and say we need a surrogate. After everything, some of them feel like we'll just pay them off. We have paid them off and we can go. And couples know that you are not paying them off. There is no amount of money you can pay to a woman to give birth to a child.
There's nothing. Yes, there's no amount. Yeah.
You can't them, but make them be able to love you and is able to pray for you. Because this person is the person that actually gave birth to your child, that brought your bundle of joy into the world.
I agree.
So, our surrogate safety, because, and one of the reasons we prioritize our surrogates is because they are also carrying your child. Yes. If you are not giving them the best treatment or the treatment they are supposed to take, or you are not even being there financially, and it flops. Do you know some commissioning couples will say Bubbly and Gray Agency, they just calm them? Some will say it. Some will say they're not taking care of their surrogate, so this and that, if we don't prioritize them. So we make our commissioning couple understand that these surrogates are as important as the babies you are expecting from them. Because when you are done, they are still the one that is going to tell the other surrogates that are coming that, no, but oh, they really took care of me. Oh, my commissioning couple, they didn't even allow anybody to even cheat me.
They
stood by me and took care of me throughout my journey. So that's one of the reasons we prioritize them. We make sure they are as important as the babies they are expecting. Because these people, two times or three times for some couples, it's not like one surrogate mother can do surrogacy for three people or two people. So don't make them have a bad experience time. Because the way we treat them, we also make it easier for them to come back to us if they want to do another journey. And we also make it easier for them to also be calm with us and also see, have faith in us if they are doing another journey with us, recommend us to other surrogates, that other potential surrogates.
Yes, yes.
That's one of the reasons we prioritize them.
I like that. There's so much we also need to learn and unlearn as well. And I'm really glad that what you're doing is really helping to improve the safety and also the experiences of surrogates. So how do you get your surrogates, for example? How do you get them?
How I get my surrogates in, number one is because I'm not ashamed of what I do. I'm not ashamed of what I do. We have some other people that get surrogates from us also.
Yeah.
For us, whereby we tell them, we need surrogates in my street, in my area, in my environment. I put it on social media that I need surrogates. But they come in by recommendation, whereby I know where they are coming from.
Yeah.
All of my surrogates is, in fact, I don't really take surrogates I meet online, like the ones around me.
Yeah.
And the people around me, they will not more later on.
You can't deceive them.
If I was not treating my other surrogates too well, some of them too won't be recommending surrogates to me. Because my former surrogates give me surrogates. There are some people I tell, I need a surrogate mother. They give me surrogates.
Mm.
People around say it's agency.
Mm.
So when they are talking, even there are some that want to bring. I've seen a woman bring her daughter to me. Please, oh, this girl, she has given her money to take care of her. Please, can she become a surrogate under you? So that because me, if you go show me, we go on the phone low. I was like, mommy, you are bringing your child. She said yes. At least she doesn't have anything to give. She's also here. There is nothing, but I should help her daughter out. And I was like, okay. Mm. Are you willing to come and tell me? Okay. So I get my surrogates like different ways, from my former surrogates, from some other people that know what I do.
Yeah.
Because I also base them on commission. When you bring something for me, I give them commission also, because Yoruba man sogokon, as a Yoruba girl, Toba domicile omatele tutu.
If you pave the way for others, if you help others, you invariably help yourself,
Yes, so that is how it is.
Okay.
So I get my surrogates in
different ways,
aspects. It's not always I use the ones I like, because I want, most of my surrogates are always within me, are always around me, so that I can be able, because they are, the clinic I use for my ANC was the clinic for that doctor I told you that was working that other place.
Yeah.
Because he later got, and I can remember my first commissioning couple ANC with me. I called the doctor. I was like, I'm coming to your clinic. Oh, want to do ANC? He was like, ANC? No, don't come to that place. So I have my own personal clinic. Now I'm working. I was like, please, I'm coming. Let me come.
Yeah.
So it's also in Ikorodu.
Yeah.
I like it well. Me. So that it's going to be easy for me to run around, do my running arounds and locate them.
Yeah.
If there is an emergency.
Yeah. Okay. Two last questions before
it's easier for them to also go to the
Thank you. I have so many questions, but two last questions before you go real quick would be, one of the things I learned as I was going through this whole process, again, for our own story, I just don't want to be like the commissioning parents. I wanted to make it very human centric. You know, this is somebody that is laying down their life literally to bring about our own miracle. And I learned that for a lot of surrogates, the financial bit of it doesn't end up paying them. So even if they get that lump sum at the end, as I even live in the hospital, they've already spent it, maybe a family member, you know. So the financial aspect of it is not like a gain. If you think about what their body goes through post, what are some of the tips you can provide to would-be surrogates on how to manage themselves financially? And along that line will also be, you know, for anyone that is thinking about being a surrogate, what are some of the advice you'd like to provide to them for them to really make sure that they're getting the best out of this?
Okay. That's for the community. I didn't get your last
question. It's all for the surrogates. It's all for the surrogates. Like, knowing that this money that they think is going to be big, it might not end up being substantial like that. What kind of advice should you provide to them?
What I can say is that one of the challenges surrogate mothers is that most surrogate mothers are single mothers.
Yeah.
And with my own experience, when I'll use my experience, because I told you I use myself to study, to inquire, is my body I used.
Yeah. Lay down your life.
Number one. Don't accept the baby daddy back. Don't accept your baby daddy's back. Your baby daddy. Don't accept them back into your life.
Oh, because they say that you might have money now. And okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They will come back. It happened to me.
Wow.
The first money I collected, it was funded by my daughter's father. Because, you know, as Africans, we have this like, we just see it like, so our women, we used to lose guard at times. And one of the reasons we used to lose our guard is like, whoa. Multi be more fun, then feel let me just leave him. He will manage us, he will take care of someone that's been irresponsible from day one. And he came back to your life when he sees that you are now boxed up. He can never be responsible because boxed up, he was not responsible. And number two is that have a plan for yourself. If you don't have a plan for yourself, even if you now have a plan, that number two self is not supposed to be number two.
It's the number one.
The real number two is don't allow family members, relatives to know you are embarking on surrogacy journey. Okay. Now, this one is hard.
Yeah, because
the reason being that hospitals will tell you, you need a support system. Clinic, my agency, we need your support system. Because Emi Okingba Bereti Olokundi. And because I found out that it made some of my surrogates spend money, there is a way I give them and their guarantors, their Okun. They are bearing. The surrogates are their bearing. The person coming is the Okun. That is their support system. Because at the end of the day, these people know how much you want to collect. It's just like, I will use you people in abroad as example. It's just like people in there. Some of your family members don't even know you are in diaspora. Because we are Africans.
You don't
because
tell them.
Imagine they know you are boxed up, you have money. That is one of the reasons that people in diaspora self cannot even build a house confidently with their family members. Because no one knows, they will not trust you with their money. Some of them will squander your money. Ladies, they are still young. You know, we need young ladies. We don't need a lady above them, below the maximum age. These people are not still experienced with life. Coming in and they're bringing their support system. Their support system, their money with them. Even their family members, they want to spend money. They're already planning how they will spend their money with them. And that money is little.
It's not a lot.
Now, number three. Number four. I'll be number three, Denny. The economy is not okay. Things are expensive. So even the money they are giving to them, sometimes when we look at it, even if they want to start business with it, some people will just be like, I have a surrogate. She did surrogate. When she realized the kind of family she came from, And the amount of confidence they are putting their money, she told me and said, Auntie Grace, Mama told you, won't see become. I'll fix my money. I want to travel out.
I'll hide my money and travel out.
I swear down. Now she's in Cairo. Now she's in Cairo. She's a maid in Cairo. She said if she had used that money to establish herself in Nigeria here, that her family member would spend that money with her. Because during that pregnancy, her mother swore for her during the time, because a friend snitched on her. And what? Told her, a friend that she brought to me snitched on her and told
her family. Oh wow,
that she I thought I want to do surrogate. The mother now called her and started swearing and cursing the lady. Then when the mother was asking the good side, she started asking money. All the family member knew, and they wanted to squander the money for that lady. They squandered almost half of that money. The lady was not like, Auntie Grace, I can't continue. My travel. Now she's in Cairo. Her money is safe somewhere. She said she will work. She prefers working and adding to that money than establishing a business as at now. That even when she comes back to Nigeria, her family members will not know
she's back
in Nigeria. That she'll go to another city. So is why when they collect this money, it's not enough. The number one reason
entitlement, family.
The two most important reason is their baby father
is coming back.
Or their family. But the most important one is that the people close to them are the snitch. Issue that the ones that don't allow those money to stay. Because even then you're money,
you're very stingy. You're tied to the money, you know.
Like they carry the pregnancy with her, for her. So that is my own advice when it comes to tell family members, if it's very good for yourself, if you are with your husband, be a team with your husband. If you're a single mother, don't allow your baby father back into your life during that journey and after your journey. If not, your money is gone.
It's gone. Okay.
Yes.
So have a plan. Be careful how you tell your family, and then think about what you want to do with your money. Like lay a concrete plan and all that.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. And last but not the least, we've talked about just the policies and actually the lack of regulation and laws protecting surrogates in Nigeria and surrogacy as a way. What if they were to... So the question is twofold. What's your vision for surrogacy in Nigeria, let's say in the next 5 years? And then what policies would you love to see implemented to safeguard, surrogates, intended parents, and even the children involved? If you had a way of being involved in this, policies or protections. So vision for surrogacy in Nigeria in the next 5 years, and what would you like to see changed that can safeguard everybody involved, especially the surrogates?
Number one is that if I say, because I wouldn't want to say what is inside my mind, because if I say it, as at now, I will still tell you, I don't have that financial capability of fighting with anybody for now. Assuming I have support, I will come out very blunt. But what I will say is this. When it comes to the government, there is no security. Because I see my country as a way whereby they always want to, as at now, internalize everything for themselves. Even if the government, I say government will come in, they are going to personalize it for themselves. It's not like something that might favor the surrogate also, or the commissioning couple. But my own advice is that commissioning couple should have more empathy. On surrogate mothers, they are humans, they are meant to be well taken care of. Put yourself in the shoes of the woman pregnant with your child, the child you will love, that you know you want to call your own. For that 9 month journey, treat her like you were treating you. I've seen a surrogate mother, I told her that last year, I will not forget, I told her, 50,000 naira for feeding allowance. She said she has not eaten food of 50,000 naira for a month.
How much is 50,000?
It's a lie. You can be able to afford.
How much? Yes, is, I mean, if you're doing surrogacy, so exactly, exactly.
Yes, you can afford it. So why are you telling me you can't even eat food of 50,000 a month? Don't you feel your gas? Even now, as at now, feeding is 100,000 naira, but it's small for me. But because of some commissioning couples that are trying to, accept that, they also see other people and also other surrogate mothers, whereby the one I'm rejecting is the one they will even accept because of the suffering in the country. So sometimes I was like, well, okay, let's just take it like that. But if commissioning couples can show empathy, there are some. And I thank God for these commissioning couples with me now, currently. They are doing it.
Yeah, we
I
did it.
Talk to them when you want to start.
Bank. It didn't, because this is somebody carrying your child. You don't want them to, and they're not working. If you think about it, these surrogates are not working. They're not generating income. They're just staying there. Like, imagine them just depressed and sad, and your child is going to be affected. This is someone that is connected to your child, literally.
Yes. When I did my second surrogate journey, it wasn't easy for me to come out of it. So for these 9 months, and thank God, please listen to me now. Please, for these 9 months, this feeding money is not, don't take it as I'm paying them after all. I don't need to give them during that month. Provide something for them. I know it's not easy. It might not be easy. Because I always say, it's not everybody that is going into surrogacy that has money. But as you want to go into surrogacy, it's something you have planned.
Yeah.
So plan that 9 month journey with them. Don't look at it that you want to. I've seen somebody whereby he fought with me when I told him 50,000. He was telling me, no, I should find someone that would collect 30,000. I said, why are you commanding me? Mr. Man, go and look for your surrogates. If you think it's easy. For you to tell me I should go and look for someone that will be collecting 30,000 per month, that means you are not even taking care of that your wife. I'm sorry to say, but I'm telling you, I'm going to share with you because you are stingy. Tell somebody early this year, is it early this year or late last year? To go and look for someone that will be collecting 30,000 per month. As I watch the economy is saying now,
especially now, what is 30K going to buy in the market? Not much.
But that's how you are treating your wife at home. Assuming that woman has rest of mind, maybe she won't have infertility issues. Definitely, you are the problem. It's your attitude that will solve it. Commissioning couples should do better. Please. These ladies, I'm not saying after they give birth, they had a child for you, you should continue doing something for them. But God forbid, if it's in my case whereby the first experience I had, 3 weeks after I had acute appendicitis, and they were saying it's because of one of the babies actually lay in that side near the baby.
Yeah, you said
like
yeah.
Inflamed. Definitely, you have to help me out because I was trying to help you. That was why it affects me. So if it's in that case, please help your surrogate out. Don't look at them like I've paid them off. Forget it. You can't pay anybody for giving of joy. They are bundles of joy, whether 2, 3, 4, 5. They are bundles of joy. There are things you have been looking for years, and you see somebody giving it to them. I'm not going to say government should do better or anything, but commissioning couple do better. Agencies do better. Agencies do try sometimes, but the commission is just commissioning couple do
better.
Even frustrate agencies. I see some commissioning couple that will try to frustrate the agency and make the agency feel bad, look bad in front of the surrogate. So most of it, I won't really say government, because if I'm calling government, all of my
is it long?
Yes.
Yeah.
But commissioning couples
lower, and it's in the hands of the commissioning couples. Yes.
And the other one is that my advice is that hospitals should stop demanding that the the children that are giving surrogacies by cesarean section.
So I said that again. Oh, they should stop what?
They should stop enforcing cesarean section on surrogates.
So about that.
Yes, I know.
Because the logic I heard about that was, you know, if they did vaginal, it's actually a bit more traumatic because of the prolonged nature of it, and then the fact that you don't get to see the baby. But you as a surrogate, and again, what do I know about this? Clearly not much. But would you say you should make that option open-ended for the surrogate to decide what they want to do?
Yes. Oh. And I'm not saying it should be open. Yes. And someone that can make up her mind and say, I want to have this child for somebody that is not me, that is not for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's for an outsider. I'm never going to see the baby or the person in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what she came to do? Mm-hmm. Don't do that in the US. They don't enforce cesarean section on commissioning couples abroad.
No, you have to. I say you're right. Like the except in circumstances where it's dire, you know, yes. you have your options of, you know.
Yeah, there was a I have been currently on surrogacy, because I have a lot of group on about surrogacy on Facebook, on Instagram, and the rest. So there was a day I said something on social media, giving birth to a child. During my first journey, my first journey. As I then I've tried, I've gotten inside, I have the group. So I was talking to someone, and the white lady answered me. She said, sitting on you. Then immediately, my comments started having more replies under it. Everybody was surprised. They now, oh, why don't you let me? Yeah, kilo day.
They shouldn't force it on you. Yeah.
Now, what I think they can do, I know one of the reasons is that frozen, they will not long to stay long in the womb. You understand all that. But if there is no, make it an option of, if there is no option, if it's for multiple pregnancies. Now, for multiple pregnancies, I would not say don't give birth through cesarean section.
Because it's, yeah.
That's for multiple babies. If it's 2, 3, 4, 5, you will go to cesarean section. Mm-hmm. But for women that are pregnant with just one child, don't force it on them.
Give them an option.
Make them have hope. Give them option. Mm-hmm. The only time they should like have the options of cesarean section is if the baby is breached or their life is on 50-50. But if there's no complication that is going to happen, and the doctors see it, that there's no complication that is going to happen through that delivery, why are you going to cesarean section? Fine, it's okay. It's also nice. It's another way of giving birth through. It's another way of giving birth. But there are some ladies that want to do this for.
Yeah.
Once they have already gone through the knife, under the knife. Like someone like me, if I was opportunity, I can do it again.
Hmm.
It's not about the money for me now. Currently, it's not about the money. Currently, now it's not about the money. I'm not even looking about the money for anybody. But if it was not that I was restricted, I would do it again now.
Hmm.
There's nothing bad there. I'm not married yet. I'm trying to help somebody. So far, I'm fit. I'm okay. My body's okay to go through it. There's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But because I can't do it again, except I want to have my own children.
Okay.
And again, like, somehow, I've seen surrogates whereby it's not easy for them to conceive naturally again.
After going through,
we don't know, maybe it's because of the cesarean section, they've gone through hormonal drugs. No one knows.
It's hard to say. But you can't exclude that event as something that is potentially causing what's happening. Yeah, like with you and the fever you had with the appendicitis and all that. You know? Yeah.
So even after that, now I did the one I did, the second one I did, after that, I waited 2 years. I tried to conceive. I got pregnant. I had a miscarriage. I didn't even know I had a miscarriage. I just noticed the pregnancy system started reducing in my body. And I went for tests. They found that the HCG level have dropped. I was like, Now they say yes, but it has dropped because the person that did the first test was the one that did the second test.
I'm so sorry.
And then I've been trying to conceive. I've not been able to. For a husband to come, because I'm a woman, don't know when that husband is coming. But I want to add one collection. I want to add one more child to my child too. If a husband comes, fine. I'm okay with my children.
Thank you so much. I mean, your passion really shines through, and I want to thank you for all the work you're doing. I think just talking to you today reminds me that surrogacy isn't just about contracts or babies. It's about people. It's about trust. It's about shared balance of power. Yes. It's about care. It's also a mirror, one that reflects how we treat women who are often from the margins, you know, like economically, socially, or medically. And, you know, even as commissioning parents, are you asking the question, how are you upholding their dignity? Or how are we reenacting old scripts that they are just the help in someone else's story? So as we close, I want to leave a few charges for everyone listening, because if we're going to do surrogacy, especially in spaces like Nigeria, we need to do it with deep integrity. To surrogates and will be surrogates, remember that your body is not just a vessel. You deserve safety. You deserve respect. You deserve agency and full understanding of what you're signing up for. So please ask questions. Seek support. You're not just helping people, you know, make their own dreams happen. You're living yours too. So always make sure that you prioritize yourself. To intended and commissioning parents, like what Missy Dowell said, choose empathy. Be mindful of your power in this process. Choose compassion over control. This is not just a transaction. It's a relationship. Your child or children that will come out of this, inextricably linked to this surrogate forever. When they grow up and start asking you the questions of how they come about, what kind of stories would you like to tell? Don't burn bridges. If you are building a family through surrogacy, build it on empathy and respect for the women and the people helping you get there. And to the clinicians and professionals, you are gatekeepers of care. Make ethics your priority. Missy Dowell mentioned some doctors and nurses who, without their intervention, she probably won't be here making this episode. You know, so please make ethics your priority, not just outcomes. Center informed, you know, consent. Refuse to be part of a system that exploits, you know, surrogates and people who are involved. And thank you so much, Zido, for showing what's possible. One care and accountability lead the way. And your example is one that I think we can emulate. And thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Really, really, really enjoyed hearing from
you. Thank you.
And I wish you all the very best. I would love to, you know, stay in touch with you as well. If it's okay, I can connect with you through WhatsApp, and I would love to really stay in touch with you, because I think, you know, there's so much to just keep learning from you and being in community with you. So if it's okay, I'll type my number in the chat, and if you want to, I'm putting my phone number in the chat. I would love to stay in touch with you and also see how you're doing, and whatever we can also support your agency. I would love to hear so much about it as well.
There is no problem, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful night rest.
You too.
All right.